Club, and you are listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
The greatest weekend, last weekend, you could ask for, Joe. It was beautiful.
Yeah, for you, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, Joe, but it was what a weekend. What a weekend.
No, hey, listen, when your team wins a derby, you have to, yeah, of course. It's great, absolutely. Got to enjoy it. Got to enjoy the few moments you have as a fan, because they take you down just as fast as they take you up, your teams, right? Our, anybody's team. If you're a supporter, that's how it goes.
And we'll get directly into what you're talking about with your team as we go through this podcast. But I think, Joe, we have to start selfishly with the absolute annihilation, the domination, the whatever shun you want to put behind the word of the North London Derby the last weekend. I mean, Joe, wasn't even a game. The best striker in the world, according to some, not even a sniff.
Oh, he's not the best striker in the world, but.
Well, I said according to some. Some people think he's the best striker in the world, if you listen.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, we're talking Harry Kane. That just speaks to, you know, Arsenal having a great game. Arsenal playing very, you know, at the top of their game. They're looking good, very good. Let's put it mildly. I think in any of these games, the credit goes to the winning team for sure when you have a performance like Arsenal, because they deserve it. So if we were going to hammer a team when they're doing poorly, then we got to give them credit when they're doing well. This is not because they played well on Sunday. It's not because they've been played well in the 9 games. For me, as in a neutral observer, things take time. Arteta's put in work. He's put in, he's allowed to work, and he's allowed to, you know, form this team. It's with a couple of key acquisitions, he's able to play his way.
That's right.
They did well. I think they're doing fantastic in the league, and they're playing proper, and they're in a good spot, you know. So there's the high of it, and they deserve that. I also think that it's not too low of Tottenham. And I know, and that's not what you're saying. I know that. So we're going to get to that. But I do think that the performance for Arsenal, and let's be honest, Arsenal really hasn't had a bad performance in the league, because even when they lost against United, this is what I say all the time. If the performance is there, you're fine. And it was. Against United, they lost the game.
Yeah.
And you guys, probably Arsenal fans, are going, well, we didn't play poorly. We played well. So I wasn't surprised Arsenal won the game.
Sorry. Yeah, that's what we always say, Joe. It's I say anyway. You play bad and lose, it's an issue. You play well and lose, I can deal with that. Unlucky, you know, and not score some chances, and they had 3 chances and they scored 3 chances. So it's going to go like that sometimes, right?
Absolutely. And it seemed like Antonio Conte did. He did wave the white flag. He did people were saying that, you know.
Completely wrong.
But I was thinking he waved the white flag after like 3-1. Like he thought, okay, this is done in the 70 whatever minute. But, you know, I think there's, you know, I think it speaks more to Arsenal's good play. I think Arsenal was just really good in this game, they beat a really good team, and they are a really good team. And right now, they are the informed team in the league, and you know, them and Manchester City. But you got to say Arsenal, because they are top of the table. So and playing proper. So I had, for the Gunners fans like yourself. It's a great performance. It's not only a good win, it's a good performance. And why shouldn't you enjoy it? Like, you know, like the supporters have to enjoy when their teams do well. And we'll get to the other side when they don't, because it's not always as bad. But, yeah, they were great. They're sharp. You know, Xhaka, I bring him up because the obvious are Jesus. The obvious are, you know, the Zinchenkos and the acquisitions, I'm saying. Yeah. But you know, the other players, they're playing at a top level. You know, your center backs are proper. They're legit. You know, Saliba is, it's funny how if people don't think that that's the, you know, like the Real Madrids and the Bayern Munichs and PSGs don't absolutely rule football, even when we're talking about a team like a huge club like Arsenal is one. Like, what, you know, they're coming out, like, they want Saliba, you know, they're all rumors, but, you know, arguing could be said, he's like, he's at Arsenal, guys. He's in the Premier League. And all I've heard this week is how, you know, amazing the Premier League is, which, by the way, no one ever denied. We'll get to that. So, yeah, the Arsenal's playing proper. As a neutral observer, they are, this is not just on a fluky streak. You're a fan of the team, right? You're a supporter. And, you know, Arteta deserves the credit and what he's done in his staff. And the players are just playing. And you have to keep going. You got to keep amassing those points. And it's an old story, you know, like the teams in the top four right now are in Champions League. You know, yes, Arsenal played today against Bodo/Glimt, but, you know, with all due respect, you know, Arsenal, if you continue to go like this, I'll ask you, Europa League's just kind of a bonus or a burden, right? Because you want to finish top four.
Well, I think it's a bonus, if you're asking me, because he's trying to amass a team right now that, you know, you're trying to copy what the best teams in the world have been doing for the past 10 seasons, and that's quality of depth, right? So you're trying.
And he rotated the squad today.
Well, that's right? What I'm saying. You have to try to blood some guys in. You have to get them into competitive games. You can't just play in the EPL because you have to go with the guys that are, you know, doing the business in the EPL. It might not be the same guys that play in FA Cups and Carabao Cup and Europa League. So you're getting a taste of people that are hungry now, players that are hungry now to show that, hey, I mean, I was a starting left back last year. This new guy comes in and took my spot. I'm still here. And Kieran Tierney showed up well today. Tomiyasu showed up well today. It's a good problem to have when you're a coach. It's a good problem to have when you're a player, when you're a fan, because now if someone gets hurt, Tierney's ready. Tomiyasu's ready. Holding's ready. Nketiah's ready. Marquinhos looked good today. He's ready. If Saka gets hurt or one of the wingers get hurt. So, I mean, we're finally at the stage right now where it's like, even if we get major injuries to key players, next guy's up. He's waiting, and he's not that bad. So
it's also hard to play in Europa League because the games are Thursday. So if you're playing on a Sunday, it's a big deal. So you have to rotate the squad. So, you know, if you win Europa League, you get the Champions League. But if you don't win it, like you went all that way, and you might be sacrificing something else. So I think as far as the Europa League campaign goes, that's the way to do it, is especially if you are challenging or you're up in the top four of your, you know, standings of your domestic league. I think that's the way to attack it. So, yeah, just to close off the North London derby for me, I think it was just I thought would there be more out of Spurs. You know, there wasn't, but I also think it was the fact that Arsenal played very well, and I thought they were full value for the win, and it was a fun day, I'm sure, for Arsenal fans, but, you know, also for the team and the, like I keep saying, Arteta and the staff, because they are not going away, it seems, and it seems like they're here to stay, and, you know, top four finish, I know, is the goal, but you never know, because other teams are competing on, you know, I guess the same amount of fronts, but of course the Champions League is a different kind of beast. So it could be Arsenal's benefit, right? If these other teams are so, you know, impacted by their play or their, you know, I would say their assignments in Champions League, their, you know, dedication to it.
Well, I'll close it off as well. I mean, 3-1 win. There's nothing else left to say. If you haven't seen the game, watch it. It's a masterclass. But I think Conte put in a tactic that might have worked against the old Arsenal. The David Luizes, the Mustafis, the guys, those kind of guys. You can't play a counter-attacking game against the defense that we have now because they're stronger and faster. And like we always say, they're more athletic. The guys like David Luiz take an age to turn. Mertesacker takes an age to turn. Mustafi takes an age to turn and realize what's going on. We have better defenders now. So they actually had to come out and play. They played in a shell. There was many times in the game where they had all 11 guys behind the ball. So,
and that's Antonio Conte. I think in general, that's him. I actually give more credit to Arteta than saying Antonio Conte got it wrong. I think that's who they are. You know, they're going to play transition football with that front three and, you know, sometimes, you know, five or six when they attack and so on. So I don't even think it's a matter of, you know, Conte getting it, you know, wrong too much, as opposed to maybe just Arteta just having his team really tactically aware and prepared, because, you know, to defend counters and to make sure that you are prepared for it, your team, yes, of course, has to have the physical. You know, you talked about the athleticism and, you know, for sure, but the team also has to be well drilled and well prepared. And that message was in, you know, instilled within them throughout the week and the preparation and so on, that they are going to play that way. So I think it's even more credit to Arteta, because, you know, you could tell the team has a belief. And if the belief starts in the manager, and if there's no belief in what the manager's saying every week in the staff, you know, you could see, you know, again, I think of reaction too. I think of, If Arsenal, after that loss to United, I'm sure you guys as supporters were a little worried. Say, oh, here we go again. And you didn't get that. You got a good reaction. And I think that's what good teams do, is they react to a result that, you know, wasn't fair or wasn't just, or even if it was fair and if it was a tough result, do they come back from it and how do they come back from it? And I think this Arsenal team has a lot of resolve. And so... You know what? Why can't they continue? I think now, almost 10 games in, why can't they continue? The question becomes, in such a unique year, is the World Cup, we talked about how hard it's going to be for teams in general with injury, but how hard is it going to be for a team on a roll? How hard is it going to be for a team who's really playing well and they're together and they got to leave for a month and whatever, and then never mind the injury, but the emotional, you know, And that's where it's like, you know, if you're a team that's really on a roll, like those teams that are going to be top of the table or near it, like, man, do we really want to go away from this? And I think that's going to be a big challenge too. And right now, that's Arsenal, because they are. Reggie's not going to be unhappy saying this all day, is they're top of the league. And they are. They are in the top of the league. And, you know, do you leaving to go to the World Cup, never mind players being hurt, but are they going to be able to find that level of focus and awareness again?
Well, I saw it last year. We were on a roll last year, 3 in a row, 4 in a row. We had one international break came, and then we lost 3 in a row and didn't make Champions League. So I've seen that movie. Don't like it, but I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in that same boat coming up with the World Cup, especially teams that have players on teams that are going to go far in the World Cup. So, Hopefully for our sakes, Milan and Arsenal come out of that unscathed. But you talked about the loss to Manchester United and how Arsenal reacted. They had a pretty big game this weekend as well. Oh. Didn't look so good.
Wow. So, of course, talking about the Manchester derby.
That's right.
And Manchester City looked, again, let's do both, the same thing. They looked out of this world, but literally Manchester United looked out of the world. Like, this is, again, a pre, you know, good run. And I think, you know, everyone said it, so I'm not going to act like I'm not creative about it, but this looked like the Manchester United. Like, to be fair, Manchester United won 4 on the trot in the league, I think, right, Reggie, or something like that. And they looked totally like they weren't up for this fight at all. You know,
Do you think they were not up for it, or they were just like outclassed completely? And we'll talk about Ten Hag's decision not to play Ronaldo as well, but do you think they were outclassed, or they just didn't look up for it? Or, I know you say they didn't look up for it, but do you think they were just outclassed? Is that the reason?
I think number one, they were outclassed. I think you have to give, if I'm giving Arsenal a lot of credit for the performance, Manchester City's performance was out of this world again. I said it before, was fantastic. World class everywhere. You know, Kevin De Bruyne, I don't know what else to say about Kevin De Bruyne, but this Erling Haaland guy, He's not bad. I mean, his finishes, his tenacity, everything. I mean, I'm not seeing anything new. They were all classed. I think that's fair to say. It shows, speaks to the level of Manchester City and how they're playing, the way they're playing, all of that for sure. In my opinion, you got to give a little bit of the not showing up part is in there too. Like to lose, what was it, Reggie? It was 6-3, but I mean, it was 6-1 at one point or 5-0.
That game was over at 4, I think. It was over at 4. I was surprised to see that they even scored 3 goals, but it's junk time goals, right? So I don't know if Pep Guardiola made subs and took out guys or whatever, but even to let in 6 goals, Joe, it's just,
it's
not what you're looking for if you're a United fan.
Yeah, so I agree. And it was, what we saw in this 4-game run maybe is not truly indicative of who they still are. And it's still, the issues still remain. And there's a lot of issues still at Manchester United. And the comparison works with Arteta. Ten Hag is not going to come in here this year and just totally revamp what's happening. It's a work in progress. And if you're going to allow a manager, right? If you're going to allow a manager time, we've said this very, very on many occasions on our show, that you got to give them time. And it doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter the type of talent you have. You had mentioned Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say that Ronaldo is not, should never be in your team. He's like one of the great, arguably the greatest player of all time, according to some. And, obviously in the conversation, absolutely, and deserving of the champion he's been through his career. But it's not an unpopular opinion. It's not groundbreaking, earth-shattering opinion to say that is Ronaldo the right fit here? I mean, it's hard to say that Ronaldo is a problem. He'll get you a goal for fun, but is it working? I don't know. I mean, it's a conundrum, this Ronaldo thing. I don't know. It's and also, does he deserve all of this too? Like, I don't mean that deserve the criticism. I mean, the expectation that he was going to come in and totally just, take them to a spot where they were before at this age and this point in his career and the type of player he is, because he does need service. He does need the team to play around him.
Yeah, I think in a game like that, when it gets to 3 or 4 and you actually do need a spark or something, I don't see how you look down your bench and decide to take off McTominay and put on Fred. And that's another thing. You put on Fred when you have Casemiro sitting on the bench. So that kind of tells me that maybe Casemiro wasn't a Ten Hag buy. Because I don't know why Casemiro is sitting on the bench beside Ronaldo while you put on Fred.
I don't understand. He's touted as a player came from Real Madrid.
Right?
I don't understand. I'm very, very dumbfounded by that.
The only thing I'm saying is it could be that, again, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with my team when they bought Pepe. Unai Emery didn't want Pepe.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Ten Hag didn't want Casemiro, and it was just a big name to, settle the fans down. We're getting this guy. But I mean, to play in a Manchester derby and not play Ronaldo and not play your big time midfielder signing, something going on, Joe.
You know what I've said. I don't think he didn't want him.
I don't think he wanted him either. But
didn't want him, and
now you're stuck with him for 4 seasons.
Yeah, you wanted to play a certain way, and it's the same old thing with United. So I think nothing. Just to cap it for me, nothing has changed with United. I think they're gonna get. They're not as bad as they were in the beginning, but they're also not as good as that 4-game winning streak showed. Not saying that they won't come back and amass some more wins, because they do have, just on the sheer talent alone, they have a lot of talent.
Yep.
So they will get results. But, in terms of the shaping the team that Ten Hag wants, it's clear this is not what he wants. I know Ten Hag is not someone who's going to give you a lot of smiles and love and hugs, but does that look like a manager who's happy and like content in the work that he's doing. And so does he deserve time? Yeah, I think he does. Is the Ronaldo thing a major issue at Manchester United? Yeah, you're nodding your head, and I agree. It is. There's no way it's not. There's no way it's not. And again, the type of player that Ronaldo is and what he needs, like, he is the end product. Right? He's the end product. That's how he will affect the game. And if the team is not playing for him, you know, just like Lewandowski and so on, these, you know, just professional, you know, killers in terms of scoring goals.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, I'll leave it at that. If we're looking at Kevin De Bruyne and how he's servicing, and Cancelo and Gundogan and Foden and on are servicing and giving, you know, proper distribution to a star like Erling Haaland, that's who needs to. So, yeah, was it a dismantling? Yeah. Am I surprised? No. Does Manchester City score for fun? You bet. They're fantastic to watch.
Well, Haaland embarrassed me this year. I said it very loudly after one of our over 40 games when we're having a beer on the picnic tables there. When he got off to that great start in the first couple of games of the season, I said he'd finish with 15 goals. So 4 games later, he's got 14. So nice. 3 hat tricks in a row. Just, I don't know, man. I don't know how you stop that guy.
Oh, you know what, Reg? These things can go either way, right? Because, like, what if he goes on a streak of games where he doesn't score? So
that's right.
It just takes me to this never too high, never too low thing. Like, we always want to compare and we want to say, oh, Farmers League, what? This thing, that? Oh, look what he was doing in Bundesliga. I guess it's easier to score in England than his Bundesliga.
I just
think the comparisons are just so ridiculous. And
you can't compare. We had this argument last night after our game. A couple of guys stayed after for a little bit, and we were talking about who's the best player in the EPL now. Based off, we were talking about Haaland and what he's doing, and so everyone was saying, but you can't base it just off goals. You can't just do it. You can't just do it like that.
So the guy that
has the most assists, that doesn't matter? Or if someone scores 20 goals and someone scores 19, the guy who scores 20 is better because he scored one more goal? It doesn't make sense. You can't compare.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. We just want to make our Instagram posts and Twitter posts look so great. We know, look at this league, look what we're doing here.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm gonna get to this later about some of the nonsense you hear about this stuff, you know, and the punditry just love this sensationalism, but we'll get to that. But yeah, I mean, he's on a clip that's
incredible.
But to also be fair, and again, we all know that he could do it anywhere, him and Mbappe right now, and someone. But they have help. And this is what we're saying, right? They have help.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say, but they have help. That's football. You need supporting cast. You need a KDB, Kevin De Bruyne, and Joao Cancelo, and this and that. Mo Salah scoring goals.
You have to fold him beside you.
Like all these guys that are scoring and whatever. Like, I don't – it's just too easy to just say, you know, it's the comparisons, like you said, like who is the best, right? Anyway, so for me, Erling Haaland, he is scoring for fun. He looks like he's having a lot of fun. You know, someone said to me, wouldn't you have fun playing with Kevin De Bruyne and Phil Foden and a list of those characters? So, but we did prove that he could score anywhere he goes, and that's what he's done. He scored everywhere he goes, everywhere. So, again, enjoy it because we're in this, amazing kind of time situation where we're looking at Ronaldo, although not in form now, but Ronaldo, Messi is still here, and this Mbappe, Haaland that are just, you know, so enjoy it is what I'm saying. But
for sure, enjoy it. Dare I say the new Messi and Ronaldo comparison, Mbappe and Haaland will be here for decades, it looks like. Champions League, Serie A.
Sure. I mean,
you want to talk about what happened today or our story yesterday?
Yeah, for sure. Like everyone's saying, so again, I know I'm always negative about your team, but all joking aside, I kind of saw this coming where this would be a really tough game for AC Milan at Stamford Bridge because of simply the standings, right? Chelsea coming into the game with 1 point, going into the bridge with Graham Potter now, the new manager, Aubameyang and with the team too, but you know, Potter having like a nice perfect storm, if you will. Chelsea on 1 point, AC Milan coming in on 4. Like Chelsea couldn't lose this game, not a chance. And you know, I know I always say, they got to lose again. Like I had a feeling, I said to someone, I said, this might be 3-1. I think it ended up 3-0.
Close.
And, yeah. And I looked at just the Chelsea team that, like I said, needed this one, needed it. And AC Milan with 9 key injuries. I mean, am I making an excuse? No. Because
it's too much, Joe. It's too much.
It's a lot, you know, like Mike Maignan, I think for this team, like, I think let's make this very clear, right? Reggie, you watched AC Milan play. You take away Mike Maignan and going into Chelsea, if you're going to even beat a team like that and you're AC Milan, Mike Maignan's going to probably make 3 or 4 big saves. You've seen him. He's incredible. Yeah. The drop-off between him and Tata Roshanu is it's light years. It's light years. You know, Calabria out injured. You know, who comes in? Sergiño Dest struggling, not found his way at all. If you watch AC Milan, who would you say their most dynamic players are? Leao and Teo Hernandez, fair. Yep. Teo Hernandez not in the lineup.
That's right.
So, and you say, "What, great team of that?" Absolutely, guys. No excuses. But the teams that you're playing against in Champions League and the English teams that are, hey, everyone wants to say it, better league. And I'll get to the TalkSport comments. Yeah, absolutely. Because of depth, right, Reg? Because who you can come in. You played against a team that spent $100 million.
Yeah.
And but look at them. They were taken to the woodshed by teams in the EPL in the middle of the table and below. I believe I just watched Brighton tie Liverpool 3-3.
That's right.
I mean, so no one's
disagreeing. But the coach for Brighton doesn't understand the English game though, Joe. Right,
so you can't have it both ways, and this is what's so insane, right? With De Cherby, the Italian coach, and so he's not good when he's in the Premier, but the Premier League's still the better league, but not when De Cherby's coaching and foreigners come to coach. So, it's hard because I wish it was another team that we were talking about and not AC Milan. I'm not making excuses, but you cannot take away 7. Let's call it 7. They're saying 9, but 7 starters or key players from a team that already depth isn't their big thing and expect to go into the bridge when Chelsea needs it. And Chelsea's a good football club and team. And on paper, yes, they are, you know, better than them. So it was a scary game for me to watch. I watched it after because that was, you know, coaching and stuff, but I'm not surprised. So when you go down the list of injuries, Alexis Salamakers and Junior Macias aren't even first choice right wingers for AC Milan, and they are the right wingers, and they were injured too.
And they're both hurt.
So perfect storm, full value to Chelsea because they took advantage of it. And were they deserving of the win? 1,000%. Is that group out of this world bonkers? You bet. Salzburg on 5, Chelsea and AC Milan tied for 4-on-4, but I think Chelsea has a better goal differential.
Goal differential,
And then Dinamo Zagreb at 3. Hell of a group. So there's that. And I'll just deal with the TalkSport thing early. And I forget who the pundit was, but if this is the best Serie A has to offer, you know, then we just, you know, then wow, what kind of league is Serie A or something like to that nature?
Oh, who said that?
I forget which TalkSport pundit said it, but I'm thinking, you know, first of all, number one, even the pundits in Italy and journalists in Italy never, never, never say that the Serie A is on par with the Premier League. It's not. Okay. But to say after Liverpool loses 4-1 to Napoli, and I know Liverpool will say everything went Liverpool Napoli's way. Yeah, but they also played fantastic. And I'm not saying that if you don't play that game, you know, 3 times, Liverpool doesn't win twice. Granted, but Napoli looked out of this world.
As long as Trent's not on the field, you should be fine. But
So what's my point? Ready to move on to the other teams because it's not just about this. Is yeah. Again back to the never too high, never too low. AC Milan is in a dogfight in this group, but with three match days to go, I think, or four, three, they're in it. They have a chance, and that's all you want is to have a chance to move forward in the Champions League. And you're in a group with, you know, hey, on paper, would you take your chances? Yeah, because you got to try to get out of this. But, you know, the injuries need to, you know, for me, I've said this all along, Rafael Leao, Teo Hernandez are probably players that can play on other teams, like big club, bigger, imagine that, but bigger spenders. But the most important player on AC Milan is Mike Maignan. Ah, I watched this team inside out, and this player is special, and I think he gives them a sense of confidence. Fikayo Tomori did suffer in this game,
yeah.
But you know that's he's it happens. I mean, we've watched the best center backs in the world struggle. I watched Virgil van Dijk look human this year. So
yeah.
We move. Was it so from the good and great of Reggie in a North London win to a humbling loss yesterday? Tough, yes. It was a tough one, but expected. But the other groups, Reggie, we had some interesting results too.
Yeah. Did anything surprise you? Would anything surprise you as far as results went? La Liga didn't have a great day or a great match day, other than Real Madrid winning, Atletico lost, Barca lost. So
did you see the Barca result? Like the highlights, Reg? Oof. There was some really bad, like, sort of good on Inter. I mean, that's a great result.
Yeah.
Some of the VAR moments were absolutely shocking.
Oh, no. What happened? Barca's
goal was disallowed, and then penalty not given. Xavi doing the kind of saying how much they pay you thing. Like,
oh, I mean, really? I didn't miss that. Missed it.
The VAR moments in that were crazy. So, but Inter survives, and the Inter gives himself a lifeline. Never mind, survives. Right, I'm looking at that group now. Let's just take a look at the table there. Yeah. And what a group there. You have Bayern Munich on 9, Inter Milan at 6, Barca on 3. So that's
they have a lot of work to do.
Right, and again, like the groups are tight. Again, you know what stood out for me, Reggie? Again, this Benfica team is tying 1-1 against PSG.
That's right. That's right.
Turning that group upside down. Juventus comes back and beats Maccabi Haifa 3-1. You say, okay, things are better. But in that table, right, that messes them up big time because, you know, it's PSG on 7, Benfica on 7, Juve at 3.
Yeah.
You know, they got to beat, you know, they got to beat.
They have to beat both of them, Joel.
Got to beat both of them. I think their Champions League, you know, schedule says that, right, Reggie?
We got to be both of them. It's the return leg. The next round is the return. So Juventus back again with Haifa, and then Benfica is playing PSG again. So depending on what happens in that PSG Benfica game, if one of those teams wins, Juve may have a problem.
Juve's got to hope that PSG wins.
They have to hope someone wins. Because
I think it's better.
You're right. Because I think they think they can probably get a result against Benfica rather than PSG, right? So
this Benfica team every year in Champions League just I say it all the time. Those Portuguese clubs, you know, those what they're doing in Portugal, something else, and it's something to be celebrated because they're producing great players. Results.
Look at the other group that has a Portuguese team, and they're leading that group too, right? So, and even Porto's in second place in that other one, Club Bruges on 9, right? So, a lot of great things coming out of Portugal. I mean, I don't know how you diss that league, but you'll find people that will find a way. Yeah, right?
And again, it's just no one says that week to week that the Premier League. We say it every day, like every week. The Premier League is the league, but you know some of these teams, when playing in Europe, you know are doing good things. And again, results happen. You know, things like this happen. You know, I just find it funny when teams that you know, we have to look at the big picture here. And some of these teams, you know, like a bad result doesn't always tell a story. And sometimes it does tell the story of that day, and you got to move on and find it. So yeah. I think this speaks to everybody. We said it last week, Reggie, the World Cup, the really shrinking of games together is going to be, it's a marathon, but it's going to be a sprint. Actually, it's not a marathon. Sorry. It'll be a sprint to get the World Cup. I looked at Bruges and Atletico Madrid, like, you know, 2-0.
Yeah.
Like you said, Porto winning 2-0 at Leverkusen. Like, you know, like this, what stood out for me, you asked, and I asked you which one was stood out. The Benfica PSG, but yeah, Atletico Bruges. Did you see any of the Atletico Bruges game?
I didn't. I was at work, but I have the little app that shows me what's going on in the game, and I think Griezmann missed a penalty, and it looked like they were just put to the sword, and I don't understand how it happened. But that was that for me, even with the Inter Barcelona games and the, you know, the Benfica games, and that's the one that stood out for me. Because you would think that Atletico Madrid can handle Club Brugge, but again, on three wins, they're on 9 points. They're topping the group, right? So, you know, they're doing something right there.
Absolutely, and the Canadian contact there with Tejan Buchanan getting assist in that game. So
that's right.
Yeah, and by the way, on the Canadian content angle, we have been saying this all season. This season, we're gonna leave you with a little nugget of what Canadian player is doing really big things and did it again this week in the NCAA for a certain team in the Maryland area. So we're going to talk. I'm going to give you more on that. I'm going to give you more on that before we leave today. So Champions League stuff is, you know, those are the results that surprised me and Reggie. Erling Haaland again scored 2 goals against Copenhagen.
Oh, yeah. Going to finish with 80 goals, Joe. 80 goals he's going to finish with.
Scoring for fun. You know, one that stood out for me too is Borussia Dortmund over Sevilla and Jude Bellingham scoring again. And really, I mean, this is a young up-and-coming. No, he's not up-and-coming. He's here. He's just young. He's fantastic. Great player. I like to see him a lot. I love seeing Jude Bellingham play. So there's a lot. But Champions League moves, and it moves. And I'm looking at, you know, the concentration of games, and there's no time, there's no rest, man. It's going to be really, really interesting the next few match days.
Most definitely, most definitely. We could go to Syria and talk about the biggest game of the week there, which was the Inter-Roma game. We still have to talk about and preview 2 big games this weekend.
Oh,
EPL in Syria. And then we're going to end off with Joe talking about a certain sibling of someone that's been on our show. So
yeah.
Inter Roma, Joe, what did we think?
You know, so we talked about Inter and Champions League getting a win, but yeah. Inter Roma, I mean, there's Roma pulling out a result and Simone Inzaghi making excuses. I mean, it's almost like he was channeling his inner Antonio Conte. So he's saying, this is, I was happy when I rediscovered my Inter, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, translating. And I've rediscovered my Inter. We're back with best performance of the season. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm buying that.
Yeah.
You know, you're telling yourself to say, I mean, listen, I think Simone Inzaghi would have been in trouble if he didn't get the result against Barcelona. He did. I think his saving grace is that big Rom. Romelu Lukaku has been injured. So, you know, let's see what happens when he comes back. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so Roma gets a win, and you know, I'm gonna say something. It's a 1-0 win.
Yep.
I will say that someone should have. Oh, sorry, 2-1. My sorry, 2-1 win, 2-1. The winning goal was scored by Chris Smalling, and not because he's scoring goals, but if you're watching the English national team.
Oh, Joe, don't bring that up, Joe.
doesn't Chris Smalling get a shout?
I even forgot he was English, Joe.
So
forgot he was English.
You know, it was important in that game. So 2-1 Roma, massive result. And of course, our friend Max at Soccer Max was happy about this one. You know, so Roma, That was a big win for them. Absolutely, yeah. It was. So, you know, finding a winner at the San Siro, too, which was huge. Massive match. Again, that when you win a match like that, it does carry you. But again, not too high, not too low, because Reggie, 3 days later, Inter gets to win against Barcelona. So
that's right.
That's the world of football, right?
So, that's right.
You know, in terms of what's happening this week in Serie A, we'll move because we've got some other stuff to talk about. It's Juventus against AC Milan. If there ever was a time for Juve to get something off of Milan, it's this week because of those injuries, right? And I really believe that. And Juve's, to be fair, Juve is starting to get some of their guys back. Angel Di Maria had a good performance in Champions League. I will say that. So, you know, that looks good. I think, but see, here's the thing is Di Maria is suspended against Milan, which is, you know, a little bit of a thank God for me.
Yeah,
right. Because everything else looks pretty good. But again, AC Milan injuries. Well, we forget Alessandro Florenzi, who was fantastic for AC Milan, is out long term. I think he's out for another 4 or 5 months. Calabria, 3 months. Junior Messias is out. Salamaker's out. So I think they are going to recover Teo Hernandez, which that would be massive to say the least, right, Reggie?
Yeah, massive. For sure.
But there are reports saying that because of the concentration of games, right, there was, if you look at it, because they're so compacted, they probably would have been back for the Chelsea game if it wasn't, right? So again, that is some managing. Right, players. So if there ever was a week where I think that Juve can get something, and they are, and I say this, you know, I've been hard on them, but they are playing a lot better. I thought that was a big result for them. So this might be a week that, you know, they could get something. But there's also this. One of the great attributes of this AC Milan team has been their reaction after a loss. And Pioli has masterminded that. So am I scared about that match? Yeah, I'm scared about every match, but
I think you have enough points in the bank that you can afford to lose a game this early in the season.
But. Well, let's take a look at, and we'll close the chapter on Serie A, Reggie, but Napoli cannot be denied how well they're playing. They're doing a great job and playing brilliant football. Atalanta, Reggie, 20 points, tied with Napoli at top of the table, and you would never in your life would have bet this team to be in third. Our team name, our over 40 team name, that just won our men's team yesterday. Udinese, 19 points. Not going away, Reg. So, as of now. But that's the big match in Italy this weekend. That's pretty much the big match. I'm taking a look at the result. Fiorentina-Lazio on Monday's a big one, too. But, obviously, Juventus and AC Milan.
Of course.
And of course, in the EPL this weekend, how can we not talk about massive, massive match, the Football Weekly Derby, Arsenal, Reggie's Arsenal, and Liverpool, Logan's Liverpool?
I don't know, Joe. I want to make a prediction. I did well last week not making a prediction, so I'm not going to make a prediction this week.
Well, the easy one is a tie, but I don't think it's going to be.
It's not going to be a tie. It's not going to be a tie.
And I think they're both going to go for it, which is great.
I think so, too. I mean, both teams are not at the point that they are in the season are not willing to sit back. They're not going to play like Tottenham did against Arsenal and sit back and wait for the other team to come.
It's not their
wide I think it's going to be a little bit wide open. And that's for a neutral. That's going to be fantastic for fans of the team. It's going to be like, oh my God, no fingernails left. But we'll see what happens.
And it's funny because Logan gives me a hard time, and
gives everyone a hard time.
Yeah, so it's funny. But I will say this week, I thought it was good. I sent them something about a Klopp standing up for Trent, and here's why I like it. Agree with it or not about the Trent thing, I like that a manager sticks up for his player. That I do like that. And I do believe, and I don't want to get too much into this week because I'm going to do something with you next week about it, but there is some truth to be said. It's, you know, the way a team plays has a lot to do with, you know, how sometimes there's mistakes. It's high risk, high reward with pressing in football. And the way that, you know, Liverpool press and what they ask of Trent is a lot different than some other teams. But I just wanted to make the point that good for a guy like Klopp who sticks up for the players. I think managers today do that. I think that's good. I did like that. I did like it. In terms Joel, of
on the defensive aspect of it, he switches off. It's on video, him switching off multiple times.
Yeah, I understand. And I think what Klopp is saying though, sometimes even with mentality of like we ask him to play so far up that sometimes that's where you have those lacks or lapses in concentration. And I think he didn't deny that. He's just saying that, you know, that's it. But yeah, you're right. As they say, film don't lie, right? And it doesn't lie.
That's right.
So Reggie's not giving us a prediction.
Nope.
I'm not going to give a prediction either this week.
That's smart. That's good. Don't do that. Don't give me a 3-1 Juve either.
Yeah. Jeez, I am worried about that one. But yeah, so obviously Arsenal-Liverpool, massive match. Obviously big one in the Serie A. I know there's big matches everywhere else, but
yeah,
that's what we're focusing on this week. Champions League continues. There's match this week again in Champions League. So those return fixtures, the groups will be looking a little more clear or even more up in the air. And Reggie, find the Canadian content angle.
Yep.
Alistair Johnston has a brother and his name is Malcolm Johnston. We've been telling you about him for a long time. And I know that people are going to start doing it now. So let's just tell you, we told you so. A little chat with Alistair this week on, over social media in our messaging. And I said, wow, you know, he's not next. He's now, you know, and so how Malcolm Johnston scores an absolute worldie bicycle kick in the box. And fantastic goal for Maryland Terrapins. And of course, other Canadians there too. Stephen Capetti, his lifelong or his childhood teammate too, played at Vaughan with us too. But Malcolm Johnston, let's look for him, guys. I think, you know, looks like he will be coming out in the MLS draft, you know, with a season like he's having. He's not next. He's not the future. The future is now. Malcolm's here. So, and I know Alistair's been saying it for years. You know, he says he's better than me. So Alistair's doing okay. So look out for Malcolm Johnston. We're going to give you what's next. There's another, there's a lot of Canadians doing big things. We're highlighting a couple. Another one at Syracuse University. We talked about this guy too, Christian Curdy. He's been doing having a great season in the ACC, playing for a top 10 team in Ian McIntyre's coached Syracuse Orange. And dare I say, maybe he might be looking at an MLS invite to the draft. So point being, don't just look at what's here. Look at what's coming next. We try to give you that with the Football Weekly Podcast.
Try our best. Is Malcolm a type of player that maybe MLS for sure, but is Europe in the future for him?
I think a lot of people, that's a good question. Like a lot of people have always asked, you know, yeah, but could he do this? Could he, is Malcolm, and here's why I don't bet against him, because if Alistair Johnston, who is very driven and very focused and knocks down walls to get what he wants and because he earns it, Malcolm might be even more of that ilk. So I'm not ruling that out. It would be great. And it's just very, very exciting to see where the next chapter comes or is for a player like Malcolm Johnston.
It's good. It's good, especially if you have a brother that shows you the path, that shows there is a way to get to this. And, you know, we're making the World Cup and being a pivotal component of that World Cup team shows there is a path. It might drive his brother a little bit harder to say, you know what, it's doable. Let's go all in. So maybe that's something that he's looking at as well. I haven't seen him play, so maybe you can send me some videos and we can take a look.
Yeah, he's exciting, Reggie. And I tell you, man, just the thought of hitting the bike, like who thinks of that? And
yeah,
special player. So and making big time noise in the NCAA in, you know, obviously one of the best programs, if not the best program in the last 20 years in college soccer.
And I'm glad you mentioned something like that, because you talk about or you see the videos on Instagram of everyone doing these tricks and stuff like that. And it's like, when in the game would you do that? And you have to, it's one thing to be able to do it. It's another thing totally to be able to do it in a game in a position where that is the only thing you can do. Can you pull it off then? Only the special players can, right? So
good on him. A key moment in a game when the score's tight, it's just.
And that's the only way you can score. Are you going to be able to do it like you did it on the Instagram video? Who knows? Some guys can, some guys can't, right? So I want to see that now. Now I want to see this bike. So you're going to have to show me this.
Yeah.
Joe, we've talked a lot. It's almost an hour. We're both nervous for this weekend. I'm not going to ask you what you're looking forward to. I know what you're looking forward to, or maybe not. I know we're both looking forward to the turkey, to our Canadian friends. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
We're looking forward to the turkey, the lamb, whatever you guys are having for your Thanksgiving dinners. I'm actually looking forward to the Liverpool Arsenal game. Are you looking forward to the UVA Milan? I hope so. I think so.
You know the answer to that. You know, it's misery for me. There's always misery for me if they don't get a result. It ruins my day, my week. But yes, I am. All joking aside, I am looking forward to seeing what reaction this AC Milan team brings, and I think that's been Pioli's thing. Is he always, whenever you count this team out, like, okay, here's the bad string, you know, they do come back with some type of reaction. So I'm hoping for one. And do they need one? You bet.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine. So guys, as usual, we're on all podcasting platforms, audio, Spotify, we're on Apple Music, we're on iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, Player FM, we're on everything. We're also on YouTube. If you're not watching this on YouTube, you can listen to us in your car on Spotify. So, Joe, anything else you want to end off with?
Happy Thanksgiving, Canada, obviously. And like you said, we're getting closer to that World Cup.
What are we, 40 days now? Something like that. Beautiful, beautiful. So, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we'll catch you next week. Come on, you Gunners.